Beloved, let us bow our heads and our hearts for prayer. Our gracious Father, we give you thanks and praise on this day of celebration. What a beautiful day it is as pastor and people see the commitment of Christ and then in that their commitment one to the other as family. Lord God, I pray that you would bless my lips, that all that I say would bring glory only to your Son, our Savior Jesus, and in that to lift up this your family. Pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a number of years since I've been in this pulpit. Some of you might remember that I think it was about 6 or 8 years ago that your former pastor and I did a pulpit exchange one Sunday. And it was great to be with you then. It's great to be with you now. I am the circuit visitor. Used to be called the circuit counselor. Now I just visit. I used to counsel. Now I just visit. I think they got wise. Anyway, it's a joy to be with you on this beautiful day. And so precious, beloved of the Lord, saints on this beautiful mountain. This morning we gather to indeed celebrate. As we do this each Lord's Day, especially as we confess our sins to the only one who can and who has and who will continue to heal us and to make us whole in his absolutely perfect forgiveness. Yes, as we celebrate the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus' name, to have our baptismal grace renewed daily, we are cleansed. Now that's a reason to celebrate. Just every single day, but every single Lord's Day especially. Hearing the word in our ears. Yes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are here to celebrate. We have faithful under-shepherds under Christ who teach, who encourage, who convict and exhort and comfort through the preached word of God, having the eternal word prepared for us, certainly a grand reason to come here and rejoice and to celebrate. Being drawn up here to the altar of the Lord and here to kneel in humble thanksgiving as the Savior who gives his life on the cross to cover all sin, for all sinners, for all time. He comes directly to you, and you eat his true body, and you drink his true blood, all for the forgiveness of your sins and for your life. Certainly a full and joyous reason to celebrate this morning. This morning, this man right here, the Reverend Dr. Elroy Reimnitz, is wearing the stoles of a pastor, taking on the care for souls. By the way, it's interesting. Do you know what the stoles stand for? It's the burden for souls. It's like a yoke that you would put on the oxen who pull, indeed, whatever it is that is in the cart. And so your pastor will be wearing the burden of caring for your souls. It was many years ago when your former pastor was ordained and installed here, and there are going to be some scriptures that will be read by your elders during the service of installation. I want you to pay very careful attention to those words. These are words that I as a pastor need to hear from time to time. Your pastor does as well, but it's good for all of us to hear these incredible words. This man is taking on the burden for your souls, and that is a mighty gift. And so you will lift him up, and he will lift you up. It's a wonderful relationship. You've come to know this dear man over the last few months, and you've come to know his dear bride and his family. He's agreed to serve God by serving you as Christ's under-shepherd here. And though this call is for a set time, because it is in vacancy, and there is hope one way or another. We're not sure exactly what will be happening with Brock. The good Lord hasn't let him know yet, so he doesn't let us know yet. So that's good. But whether it is as through the SMP program or going off to seminary, the training that will happen here will be blessed. A good man is going to be leading you and encouraging you. Truly, this is a reason to rejoice. But this latter reason to rejoice is also because the office of the Holy Ministry is about giving out the Word of God and the sacraments to the dear flock of God. This is His flock, and not yours, Pastor. And you know that. We are but stewards of the mysteries of God, as one of the lessons will say. But we celebrate what God gives us. Today we celebrate because God has provided you with indeed these two humble men, with Brock and with your pastor. Now, that's a nice introduction, but your pastor asked me to preach on the gospel. It would have been very easy to preach on the epistle, and we'll get to that at the very end. That'll be the little cherry on top. But I love this gospel, and I want you to listen to it carefully. Scrutiny! Careful scrutiny. That's how the rulers were watching Jesus. It's one of these things, you know. A little bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry to pick on you. That's what they were doing. It's almost like when we talk about the video cameras, the unblinking eye, you know. They were trying to watch him and watch him closely. But in my mind, I feel sorry for him. I don't think they watched him closely enough, or they would have seen his loving heart. I was thinking about the gift of holy marriage. My wife is down at our church today, and she's going to be playing with our beautiful little granddaughter and helping out down there, so I came up alone. But when I think about what it is to watch our beloveds, you think about that now. I can tell you, by the way, that my wife holds her hands or her shoulders or something else about her mood. I love the way she giggles at Facebook when she observes our grandchildren. After nearly 33 years together as one flesh, we were married on Christmas Day. I still like to watch and to observe and to drink in her beauty. We each are given to watch and to get to know and to cherish those we love. That's one kind of watching. But the observation is far different for these severely scrutinizing Pharisees in our text. And I do feel sorry for them. By putting their only Savior under the microscope and pulling out the dissecting scissors. Did you ever do that in lab class? They were trying to tear his words and his actions down and to assign their very own human value to his heavenly love. And in so they missed so very much. So when we see somebody who is doing that with the gospel or doing that with other Christians, our first response ought to be, oh, let me pray for them. I feel so sorry for them. It's a good reminder for me, and I pray for you, that we look at one another and look at the Holy Word of God through the lens of the cross. Many people will look at the Word of God, and what they will try and do is say, this is, and there are people who say this sincerely, and I'm not talking about the people who take it the way I think that they want to make it, but there are others who say, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. No, it's not that. Not at all, because it's not a how-to manual. It's not a set of instructions. It's a love letter. The scriptures are the love letter that is punctuated with the cross and the empty tomb of Christ. And so we don't see him as a drill sergeant, but we see him as the lover of our souls. And so we see him through the lens of the cross. The cross is ever before us. Luther used to suffer from severe depression. And he had a pastor who he called his father confessor. And he would go to him and he would say, oh, these are the things that are troubling me. Would you please absolve me? And one day he was really worried about his predestination, you know, going to heaven for himself. He could see it for all of you. Have you ever experienced that? Where you know that God has to love everybody else. But me? I know who I am. Well, even Luther fought that. And his father confessor, his name was Staupitz. Staupitz said to him, behold the wounds of Christ, for here the predestination of our God, it shines forth more brightly even than the sun. Everything must be seen through the perspective of the cross. The love that poured itself out even unto death on the cross even as Pastor said just a few minutes ago with the children. These poor Pharisees were scrutinizing Jesus. They looked at him not as the one who was God, who takes away the sins of the world, but as someone who needed that severe scrutiny. Sad, so sad. So what does Jesus do? What does the Savior say? What do the Pharisees observe in Jesus? The answer is that we are met by the God who has revealed himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. It's interesting. He calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath elsewhere in Scripture, in Matthew 12, in Mark 2, and in Luke 6, where the disciples are gathering grain and walking through the grain field on the Sabbath day. Jesus will reveal his loving heart to these scrutinizing Pharisees here this day, and he will do so in a way that is absolutely beautiful. He will take the man with dropsy. I think that's kind of a limp. I have a limp. I have cerebral palsy. It's something that I've lived with my whole life. You know what? It's okay. Because God gives us his grace. But this particular man with his dropsy was there as the Pharisees are watching Jesus. It's on the Sabbath. And what does Jesus do? He heals the man. And in that, what they observe, or what they should observe, is the Jesus who loves the broken and the hurting, those who cannot stand or walk straight, those who cannot see or speak, those who are even dead. Isn't that amazing? Death doesn't stop Jesus. Not for himself, and not for you or for me. We've had a couple of deaths just recently in our church, and I came up with, on the one-year anniversary just a couple of weeks ago of my own mother's death, to know that death has been swallowed up in his victory means absolutely everything. Yes, he heals the man with dropsy. Jesus is doing at least two things here. The first is that he is hardening the Pharisees' hearts, also that he will be utterly rejected and have to die on the cross. Do you see that as an act of love? Because apart from the cross, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And so in hardening their hearts, he made sure that my mother's resurrection, that your loved one's resurrection is sure, and that your daily walk and your daily forgiveness is just as sure. What an incredible act of love. The second thing that our Savior does is tied to the first. Going to the cross, Jesus will pay the full price for their sin, the Pharisees' sin, and your sin, and mine as well. How often, and I ask this seriously because I had to think about it myself, how often do we scrutinize? How deep is our sin? The Pharisees are men for whom Christ has died. Jesus came to heal the dropsy of the body and the dropsy of the soul. In so doing, he becomes our Sabbath rest. It's a big point here. Today, he who is our Sabbath rest will feed us with his Sabbath rest, the full forgiveness of our sins in this precious sacrament that is before us. You know, the Sabbath was a day when you were not allowed to do outside work, but you were to focus on Christ. And Sabbath means rest. When we talk about a Sabbath rest, we're saying the rest. The day of rest. Remember how they had to go out and pick the manna up off of the ground, and it would spoil if it was from a Tuesday to a Wednesday, let's say, if they gathered too much. But when they went out before the sundown for Friday to Saturday, they were to gather up a double portion. And not only was it fresh, it was just as fresh as if they'd gathered it. Because they were taught to know that God provided rest from the daily labors. A rest from the weight of sin. A rest in him. So beautiful what our God does. You're invited today to the banquet that is set by the King. Paid for by Christ our King, our Good Shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, even the sheep in the pines. as Jesus teaches the crowds and the Pharisees. It's far more than an etiquette lesson about where you sit. I was thinking about Emily Post or one of those people, you know, you always have to have little name placards if you're having a big fancy meal. Or maybe what we know more of is when you're invited sometimes to a wedding, and then there is the dinner afterwards, and well, there might not be the little name tags, you might have an assigned table. You know, the bride and the groom are right up front, and then maybe you have the tables that are for the parents and the immediate families and all the bridal party. And then the rest of us sit a little further back and a little further back and a little further back. I don't think Christ cares a whole lot about the etiquette, but he cares about the honor. And that's beautiful. He's there to provide the honor of his blood to cover the dishonor of our sins. And so there's only one requirement to come to the banquet. If you're not a sinner who seeks Jesus and his full blood and his full righteousness for your forgiveness, then you may not come. But we are invited to come. And we have a seat at the table. We are, if you will, like the prodigal who has the compassionate father who kills the fatted calf and sets a banquet before us of thanksgiving through our restitution. Yes, we who are the blind, we who are the lame and the crippled, we do not observe the king from afar. I was thinking about closed circuit TV presentations because sometimes you'll get a big gathering and then you get the people who sit inside and then they'll say, well, we put a bunch of people in the overflow out there and then they get to watch it on some little screen. Well, there are no closed circuit TV observers of the grace of God. As you come to kneel here, it is his very body broken and his very blood poured for you and for your sins. He invites you here to be healed, to be forgiven, yes, to be utterly loved. Ah, what a banquet it is. And so we treat one another as both the broken, but also as the beloved. You're my brother. You are my sister. You're flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. We are one in him. As we observe each other, I pray it will be the observation, with the observation of his blood-bought love. The world out there is measuring you with a micrometer. Make no mistake about it. You and I, we will fail. Only Jesus could pass that test of never failing, of never sinning. Only he could stand under the unblinking scrutiny, that unblinking eye of a sinful world and stand at the end. So what does this say about our witness? What then are we to do? Because sometimes in church we think, well, I couldn't bear witness. Pastor, if you only knew what was in my heart. Oh, come on now. If you and I are the clumsy oafs that I know that we all are, then what are we to do? As others see us fail and fall, they need to see us fall on our faces and ask for his forgiveness and for his grace. Then they will see that the false gods that demand their perfection are now answered in the perfect perfection of God's forgiveness. You're drawing them to the cross. They will see grace in action. They will see that you have received the Sabbath rest, something that they will then want to have. They will then see Jesus, who can become for them what he already is in reality, the author and the finisher of their faith. Yes, Jesus heals on the Sabbath, and he does it every day as we forgive and are forgiven one with another. But he does it especially for us here as we gather as a family in the banquet that is now for you. Now, I could stop the sermon right here, and I think it would be okay without sounding too proud. I think it might have been a good sermon. I don't know. I hope so. But like those guys that like to hawk on TV, you can get this for this, but wait, there is more. I promised you Hebrews 13. Sorry about this. You all know the story about the pastor who used to put the lifesaver in his mouth, and when it was gone, he knew it was time to shut up. And one day he reaches down into his pocket without looking, and he puts a button in there. I gotta check and see if I got the button. No, it's I'm almost done, but this just came to me as we were looking at the text that'll be read just in a few minutes. Hebrews 13 is one of those fine diamonds that as you hold it to the light and turn it, the sweet light is refracted in beautiful ways. I want to turn the diamond, if you will, in two directions to let his light refract and reflect just one great truth. It's the truth that Christ who abides with you as he grants you these two men. And again, we don't know exactly how it will be for Brock, but for this dear man who now is taking on the care for your souls, what is it that we see? He is granting to him that these precious words. Consider this reflection of the diamond. I'm just going to read it to you. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. And you, imitate their faith. That doesn't mean imitate always what they do, because some, like, unless it is to fall on their knees, because their faith will be when your pastor does something that isn't quite right, you forgive him, even as he forgives you. Imitate his faith. For Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday. Finish it with me. Today and forever. Consider also the way that these leaders are to watch over your souls. They're to do so in the love and with the love of their grand shepherd, the good shepherd, who is also your good shepherd. Therefore, dear congregation, take the final words of our epistle very much to heart. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Stand up under them. The word submission has terrible meaning in today's world. It means rather to stand up under someone else's strength. It doesn't mean, I've got you, but it means let my strength cover you. Stand up, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Even so, dear sheep of the shepherd here in the pines, on this day of joy and rejoicing, on this day of celebration, let us come and eat, let us come and drink here, and I know here, you guys are known for your wonderful repasts. That's great. Let us come and eat, let us come and drink. For the same Christ who rose from the grave and has now ascended above us, reigning at the Father's right hand, he is both the same yesterday and today and forever. And he has given you your leaders, those who will speak the word of God to you. That is his great promise. Even so, amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.